Welcome back to this episode of The Beaver Dam. I am your host, Trent Mast, joined along with Patrick Spillman. Pat, how are you doing today?
Trent, I'm doing great. How are you?
I'm doing good. This weekend wasn't too bad. We had our soccer banquet yesterday, and I went and I played some indoor soccer as well. That was fun. I'm a little sore from that, and then from lifting earlier today, I'm sore from that as well. But all around today hasn't been that bad of a day. Just had a little bit of school, just had to get through that. It's hard to concentrate though. I noticed today I was kind of daydreaming a little bit about spring break coming up here soon. Just going back home, because I haven't been home since I came back to campus in January. So I'm just really excited to go home, see my family and some of my friends that are on their spring breaks or even that are still in high school and my girlfriend. But I have to wait until Friday, so.
Yeah, I'm definitely ready for spring break. I need a break from school for a week and just being able to relax a little bit and, catch up on some homework that I probably need to do over spring break to kind of get ahead a little bit. But we'll wait and see how much I actually get done over spring break.
Yeah, for sure.
So this week in the sports world, a huge thing happened out of Duke University. Zion Williamson, the superstar, the guy who has gone viral on YouTube and has just been an absolute stud in his first year as a Duke men's basketball player, probably his last year for Duke as well, probably be a one and done. He hurt his knee 1 minute. It was 34 seconds into the game against North Carolina, who people were paying $3,000 for tickets to go watch the game. Just to watch that man. Hurts his knee. It's not nothing serious, just like a twisted knee sprain. I think it's like
strained knee.
It's level one. But now it's caused this huge discussion between everyone in the sports world on whether or not he should shut it down for the rest of the year. Trent, do you think that Zion Williamson should shut it down for the rest of the year?
Personally, I believe if he's ready and able to play and he feels confident that his knee is going to hold up on him, I think he should get back and start playing as soon as possible. He's a basketball player, and yeah, things happen. You can get hurt here and there, but at the end of the day, he is one of the best, probably the best top prospect going into this NBA draft here after the NBA season and after the college season is over, because he has had a stellar year already. And I mean, yeah, you never want to risk anything. I mean, he is a freshman this year at Duke, but he is definitely good enough, 100% good enough to play in the NBA. But I just think, yeah, he did have a knee injury, and he does need to be cautious there. But and all in all, he should still play if he's able to play, because he is a powerhouse.
Definitely. The biggest thing right now with Zion Williamson is that he's a competitor. And as Charles Barkley said, we play the game of basketball because we love the game of basketball and because we're good at the game of basketball.
Yeah.
Zion Williamson does not want to have to sit out. And, you know, I played basketball in high school. We play soccer now here at the Division III level. If we blew out our knee, nobody would care at all. They're saying that it's a big deal because of the money, but to me, I don't think Zion really cares about the money. I think even if he does get hurt, he's still going to make money doing other stuff. He can go and talk about all of that, and people are going to pay millions of dollars to get him to come speak.
Oh yeah,
I understand everyone saying that a shoe deal, he's going to get all this money and everything else, but Zion is a competitor. He loves the game of basketball. He loves playing for Coach K, who is a legendary coach, and Zion wants to learn as much as he absolutely can from Coach K. And as a basketball player, you want to go play for a national championship. You know, he's probably only going to be playing for a year. Mm-hmm. But that team is good.
Yeah, Duke is
four really good. Starters, all freshmen, all four of them probably aren't going to be there next year. They're good. Mm-hmm. And they have a chance to compete. And I could see Zion sitting out probably for a little bit during the regular rest of the regular season, but I see him coming back for the ACC tournament. He's too big of a competitor, and he wants to win, and I think that he would be crazy to shut it down.
Yeah, and not only is he an offensive threat, but defensive threat, and I know they weren't expecting him to go out first 34 seconds of that game, and that really that hurt them, I think, in the long run in that game. But they found a way this last game without him. A couple other guys played really well, and I just think he's out. He's ready to be back already, but he's taking his time because, as you said, no one wants to hurt themselves even worse than they were already hurt, and he doesn't want to be out. So he's going to be cautious, and he's not going to – I don't think he will jump in when he isn't 100% sure that he's ready to be back out on the court.
Yeah, I mean, I think Zion and Coach K probably they've sat down and they've had a plan. Once they figured out it wasn't anything serious, they probably looked at the schedule, realized when probably they think that it's going to be necessary to have him back, and I think Coach K – and Zion have enough faith in their teammates to probably last until the ACC tournament, if not a little bit before, just to kind of ease him back into it. But it's not like you said, he's not going to just jump back into things. He's going to start out on minute restrictions. He'll go play only probably 15, 20 minutes in the game, which some people might say that's a lot, but that's literally only half the game if it's 20 minutes. So I think there's no way you shut a Zion Williamson down. He is still, it does not matter if he plays the rest of the year, and it does not matter if he does not play for the rest of the year. The man is going to be picked with the first pick, or at least the second pick, if somehow, some way, his teammate and RJ Barrett would get picked first. But when you see Zion Williamson and his height and weight and just the way he can play the game of basketball, every single college coach that's played against him, including Roy Williams, all the big names that have coached forever, they all say they have never seen a man like Zion Williamson. He has the handles and the speed of a guard, and he has the body and frame of a center. And it's hard. He's a hard matchup, and he's going to be hard to stop. I mean, he's averaging like 20 points a game. I mean, it's going to hurt for Duke not to have a 20-point score in the game. So, you know, I don't see him shutting it down.
Yeah, I agree with you on that one. I mean, just as a competitor, you never want to be out for too long. I mean, my senior year of high school, I didn't play basketball, but I wrestled, and I had it was a career-ending injury because I was a senior, but I could still go wrestle if I wanted to, but I tore my labrum, so I wasn't able to wrestle the entire rest of my senior year. It was only three meets into the year, and it killed me because I just wanted to be out there wrestling, helping out my team because I was one of the leaders on my team, and it just, I would have done anything to go back out and help my team, and I bet he feels the same way, and his isn't, it's not a tear or nothing he needs surgery on. It's just getting himself back and being ready to play. So definitely think he shouldn't shut it down, and he should play whenever he feels he's ready.
Speaking of Zion Williamson, Trent, the Cavaliers, they've won the past two games. Looks like their chances at Zion are kind of slipping away now that K-Love's back, and Cavs are, they're winning.
Yeah, being from up near Cleveland, I'm not right in Cleveland, but I'm less than an hour away. I'm a big Cleveland sports guy, and I was actually surprised. I know it sounds bad, but I was surprised that they were winning. I don't remember what game it was, but I was like, whoa, it's gotten into them, because At the time I was watching, it wasn't really a close game, and I was like, holy cow. But I'm glad they're winning games because as a fan, you always want to see your team win.
Yeah, I'm pretty proud of my Pacers. As I've stated before, I was devastated when Victor Oladipo got hurt, but I'm proud of them. They've stayed in the number three spot in the East even without Victor Oladipo for an entire month now, so I hope they can hold that on. I think we're a pretty good chance to make the playoffs, but I want the Pacers to win a couple series and then build off that next year with Oladipo hopefully coming back. You know, it sounds like it's a pretty serious injury. Who knows when he'll come back?
Mm-hmm.
But right now, if the Cavs keep winning, the chances of getting Zion are going to go down. I think looking at it right now, the top two teams that I think that have the greatest chance of getting Zion are probably going to be the Bulls and the Phoenix Suns. So I think the Suns could be pretty scary next year if they would find a way to get Zion with Devin Booker, DeAndre Ayton, and then Zion. But the Bulls are definitely going. Look, to me, the way they're playing, it looks like they're kind of tanking a little bit. They want in on that Zion sweepstakes. But, I mean, R.J. Barrett isn't that bad of a choice either. I think this class is going to be pretty elite.
Solid, yeah. Do you have anything else to add about NBA or anything outside of Bluffton Athletics?
Not really, you know. Obviously, Robert Kraft and the whole allegations. There's not a lot out about it yet. We'll find out more in the coming weeks. So that could be something we talk about here in a few weeks. But him getting arrested for prostitution, so we'll have to keep our eye on that and talk about it more as more facts about the case come out.
Yeah, for sure. All right, we'll take a short break here, and then when we come back, we'll wrap up the men's basketball season as they finished up this weekend, and then we will preview the baseball and the softball seasons as they start this weekend in Florida. And then I think that's about all we have for you today, so we'll take a short break. You're listening to the Beaver Dam on 96.1 The Wit.
You're listening to the Beaver Dam on 96.1 The Wit.
Welcome back. I'm Trent Mast, joined along with Patrick Spillman. We're going to jump right into wrapping up men's basketball. The Bluffton University men's basketball team hit 30 of 37 at the free throw line en route to the 79-68 win over Anderson University in the opening round of the Heartland Conference tournament on Friday, February 22nd. The Beavers improved to 18-8 on the season, while Anderson saw its season come to an end with an 11-15 mark. Bluffton's win over the Ravens has the 2018-2019 squad tied with the 1984-1985 and 2006-2007 teams for the most victories in school history.
Bluffton opened a 15-8 spread when junior Andrew Renner hit a layup with 14:56 remaining to play in the first half. Beavers used a stout defensive effort to take a comfortable 35-22 lead at the half. Anderson struggled with a 9-of-32 shooting effort in the first half, just 28% from the field.
The Beavers were looking to keep the pedal on the gas going into the second half of play, and the Beavers did just that. Junior Isaiah Taylor kicked off the second half, scoring with a pair of free throws to make the score 37-22. The Ravens cut the Beavers' lead to 11 when Peters split a pair at the stripe to make it 50-39 midway through the second half. Trying to stave off a Raven late comeback, Bluffton's Desmond Brown would all but seal the victory when he hit a huge three-point shot, which made the score 67-53 with 1:36 left to play.
Renner led the way, scoring 20 points, going 4 of 10 from the field and 11 of 15 from the free throw line. He came down with 6 rebounds. Jameel Crosby bucketed 19 points on 5 of 12 from the field and 2 of 3 from the three-point line. Crosby also dished out a career-high 9 assists for the Beavers. Bluffton's bigs, Taylor and Aaron Rich, would combine for 25 points, going 9 of 16 from the field, and they pulled down 17 rebounds as well.
The Beavers hit 22 of 52 from the field for 42.3%, compared to 23 of 57, 40.4% for the Ravens. Bluffton went 5 of 14 from three-point land, 35.7%, while the Ravens were 8 of 20, 40% from behind the arc. The Beavers dominated the glass with a 46-29 rebounding average, but Bluffton turned it over four more times, 17-13. Anderson struggled 2 of 14 of 25 on the night from the line, 56%, while the Beavers were an outstanding 30 of 37 for 81.1%.
With that win, the Beavers did move on to the semifinals against the number one seed Hanover College Panthers. On Saturday, February 23rd, the tip-off was at 5 p.m., first game of the two semifinal games where Franklin and Rose Holman, not Rose Holman, Franklin and Transylvania played each other.
Yeah, but I remember last week we were talking about how Friday night, how the Beavers really needed to get this win, not just because it was a playoff game. I mean, obviously you never want your season to end right away, but because Anderson had already beat them two times this year, and to me, seeing them come out and win by 11 points over someone who had already beat them two times this year is really good. Big round of applause there. It's a big win for them. I mean, they tied it. Obviously, we'll get to what happened on Saturday, but spoiler, if you didn't already know, they did not win the semifinal game, so they did not break the record, but they still tied, which is really good, and congratulations to them on that.
Being from Anderson, it's always good to see us, the Beavers, pull out a win against the, you know, Anderson Ravens. I have a couple of friends that I played high school basketball with that are on Anderson, so it'll be nice to be able to take a little couple jabs at them, saying, you know, hey, we beat you guys here in the playoffs and everything else, and, you know, Anderson's bench outscored us 37-8, but what really helped is those five starters for the Beavers that were really able to take a lot of the load for the Beavers and be able to pull out a win.
Yeah, for sure. And just all around, they had a good game there on Friday night. And just going down there and competing and playing really well is really nice to see. Then the Bluffton University men's basketball team dropped a 69-49 decision to Hanover in the semifinals of the Heartland Conference Tournament on Saturday, February 23rd. Top seed and host Hanover College will play the Transylvania Franklin winner for the HCAC automatic bid to the NCAA tourney on Sunday. Bluffton wrapped up its season with a school record tying 18-9 mark, while the Panthers improved to 20-6 on the season.
The Beavers fell behind early when Hanover's Cam Falls drained a three-point shot that made the score 17-6 in favor of the Panthers, with 12 minutes 15 seconds left in the half. The visitors would not cave, and they stayed within striking distance when sophomore Aaron Rich hit a chip shot that pulled them within 7, 34-27 heading into break.
A pair of Brevin Dye buckets kept the Beavers within 11 midway through the second half, 48-37. But three Bluffton points over the next 7 minutes sealed the outcome as Hanover pushed the spread to 66-42 with just over 4 minutes to play. Seniors Jared Wentling, Justice Dowdy, and Michael Piquel all made a final appearance before the horn sounded on the 2018-2019 season, with Hanover posting a 69-49 victory over the Beavers.
Rich led the Beavers with 16 points, going 7 of 13 from the field. He also had a team-high 8 rebounds. Wentling bucketed 7 points in the final game as a Beaver, while Dye just missed double figures with 9 points for him. Renner doled out a career-high, tying 7 assists for the Beavers.
The Beavers hit 21 of 48 from the field for 43.8%, compared to 26 of 54, 48.1% for the Panthers. Bluffton struggled mightily with a 1 of 13 display from 3.7%, while the Panthers We're not much better going 3 of 12, 25% from behind the arc. Excuse me. Hanover out-rebounded the Beavers 34-25, and Bluffton turned the ball over four more times than the Panthers 16-12.
Obviously not how the boys wanted to end the season, but if you look back here, Trent, all five starters from this year's team for most of the year are coming back next year.
Mm-hmm.
Jameel Cosby, only a freshman. Desmond Brown and Aaron Rich, sophomores. And Isaiah Taylor and Andrew Renner are juniors this year. All five of those guys will be back next year. Obviously, losing key guys in Jared Wintling. And obviously, going to hurt losing Mandel Ransall. Michael Pickell, obviously a huge leader in the locker room as well. But five key guys for the Beavers are all going to be returning, as you're going to see at all these other schools. Most of those teams are probably going to be losing some key players, some key seniors, where this Beavers team is bringing back their core five starters to. You know, when you look back at the Anderson game, when they only had 8 points off the bench, the five starters are really what carried the Beavers in that game. So what's going to be huge is just Coach Neal finding another three or four guys that he can bring off the bench next year to be able to allow these, take a little bit of the load off these starters, because he's bringing back a core group, and I think Beaver basketball has a really good chance of hosting the conference tournament next year.
Aaron Rich is actually Pat and my neighbor, and I was talking to him a little bit. I think it was either yesterday or this morning, and he said, Trent, expect us to win that championship next year. And I said, all right. He said, we're already working. We already want to get better. And
I saw some of those guys in the weight room today. You know, they're not taking a single day off. They are not happy about losing, especially in the matter that they did.
Yeah.
I watched the first half when, you know, they kept it close. It seemed like whenever we would score, Hanover would have an answer. Whenever Hanover would score, we would have an answer. You know, that first half was close. Obviously, the Panthers were able to extend the lead to 20 points by the end of the game. But this is just going to make the Beavers even stronger, and it's going to motivate them even more to be even better next year.
I was going to say, it's going to push them this offseason and this summer and then preseason next year to just keep at it, keep working. Yes, they had a stellar year this year. They tied the record this year. But what can they do to improve and break that record and become Heartland Conference champions?
Yeah, I'm excited for this Beaver basketball team in the coming years. Obviously, I've started to announce a little bit of the games. I'm really excited to be able to announce some of those games next year, especially with my boy Trent. It's always a fun time.
Mm-hmm.
I think Trent and I are both pretty stoked, obviously, for soccer first, and then right after that, getting into announcing basketball games.
All right, so we're going to just jump right into baseball and then softball. Also, track starts up here as well. The Bluffton University baseball team made its first HCAC tournament appearance in school history last season, and the Beavers have set their sights on going even further in 2019. Narrow losses to Manchester and Anderson in the conference tournament have fueled a Bluffton's program to eclipse 20 wins for just the fourth time last season. Coach Grandy and his team are excited to get back on the field and show that 2018 was no fluke, as the Beavers are just days away from kicking off the season in Fort Myers, Florida.
Colin Gregory led the 2018 Beavers with a 3.59 batting average, .564 slugging percentage, and 39 runs scored and 13 doubles. His four homers were just one shy of 2018 senior Ryan Golden's team high five homers. Gregory's experience and arm in the outfield helped him to all Heartland Conference honors as a junior. Senior pitcher Dante Andre, a second-team All-HCAC selection and preseason honorable mention D3 Baseball Podcast All-American selection, and Jack Bondi both tossed over 30 innings in 2018. DeAndre finished with a minuscule 2.59 ERA while holding the opposition to a team best 0.214 batting average thanks to 42 strikeouts. Also looking to return to form that he displayed before suffering a season-ending injury last year is Brantley Kernet, who posted a microscopic 1.54 ERA in 24.2 innings on the mound.
Tommy Seamer, Cam Clark, and Mike Amon give the Beavers an experienced trio of junior pitchers who all saw significant action in 2018. Seamer took over as the ace following Kernet's injury, throwing a team-high 52.1 innings with 40 strikeouts and a 3.44 ERA. Clark and Amon combined for 46.1 innings of work over 24 appearances, primarily out of the bullpen.
Two sports standout Adam Duncan hit .280 with 7 sacrifice bunts and just 1 error in 30 games as a sophomore. A starting outfielder in the spring, Duncan led the football team with 32 receptions for 481 yards last fall. Juniors Bryce Frank and Alex Lemanski give the Beavers experience and depth in the middle infield and combining for 26 starts in 2018. Junior Parker Reynolds saw time behind the plate a season ago, hitting .308 and 10 RBIs.
A talented 2018 freshman class is ready to pick up where it left off after it accounted for 3 of Bluffton's top 6 hitters. Jacob Latovsky was named the Heartland Conference Freshman of the Year after hitting .319 with 45 hits, 24 runs scored, and 19 RBIs. Litkovsky drew a team-high 19 walks and finished the season with a .417 on-base percentage. Versatile sophomore Garrett O'Reilly got it done on the mound and at the plate, finishing 2018 with a 3.05 ERA and a .306 batting average. He allowed only 8 extra base hits in 41.1 innings en route to first-team all HCAC honors. Lenny Winarski split time between catching and first base, starting 27 games while hitting .236 as a freshman. Sophomore Jackson Rogan hit .317 with a .453 on-base percentage in 41 at-bats during his freshman campaign.
Franklin College has been tabbed to repeat as Heartland Conference champions following a 17-1 mark in HCAC play a season ago when the Beavers handed Franklin College's lone conference loss. Anderson and Rose Holman also earned first-place votes in the coaches' poll, with Bluffton coming in seventh with the when the projections were released. The Beavers will tee it up with 11 games in Florida at the Gene Cusick Classic starting on Saturday, March 2nd, against Elms and Fort Myers. A short trip to Ohio Northern is slated for Tuesday, March 12th, for the home opener with Hiram on Thursday, March 14th. Conference action opens with a home doubleheader against Earlham College on Saturday, March 30th. Rival Defiance College is at Memorial Field for a twin bill on Tuesday, April 2nd, as HCAC action takes over the schedule. Trent, this baseball team is bringing back a huge freshman class who had 4 or 5 starters, gets their ace back in Brantley Kernet, brings back Tommy Seamer, as well as Cam Clark, and brings back a projected preseason Division III All-American.
Yeah.
And we're projected 7th in the conference.
Yeah, preseason projections, obviously, don't seem right now. But that gives the team all the more drive to prove that they're top in the conference.
Yeah, I'm with all of everybody that they're returning, I don't see these Beavers being 7th in the conference. No. They're all these players, they're young, they're hungry, they want to be able to go out there and compete for a conference championship, and do not be surprised when you see these Beavers in the Heartland Conference tournament again this year and you see them competing with all of the top dogs in the conference, because with them getting their ace back and Brantley Kurnett bringing back their ace from last year who had to take over when Kurnett got hurt, that's two guys that you're going to be able to rely on in a doubleheader situation, as well as bringing back bullpen, and that's not even counting some of these freshmen that we have no idea could play some huge minutes. I mean, last year, four or five of them started. So it'll be interesting to see exactly what's going to happen. Obviously, losing a guy like Ryan Golden at the plate is definitely going to hurt, but I still... And Reed Mouse, obviously, as well, huge for the Beavers as well. But I like these Beavers odds. I don't think that they were a fluke last year. I'm a little upset about them being projected seventh, because I really like this Beavers baseball team.
Yeah, I went to as many games as I possibly could last year. Me being a baseball guy myself, I played high school baseball. I played center field. I enjoyed it. I love baseball. And I don't think they were a fluke last year. They had a lot of young guys, and they still played really well. So just seeing what they did last year, and obviously they've had a whole year under their belt if they were incoming freshmen last year, so the sophomore class, and even some guys that might not have gotten time until last year. They still have college experience under their belt, and they've worked hard this off season, and just they're competitors. They want to win. They're hungry. They all want to not just make the conference tournament, but win that conference tournament. So I'm really excited to go out and see what they bring to the table this year, and hopefully see them go deep into the tournament this year.
Definitely. So for softball, the weather outside may not be that great, but the Beavers are heading down to Florida just around the corner. Offense continues to be Bluffton's calling card as the Beavers hit .308 with 26 home runs in 2018. Head coach Amanda Des Moines has a year under her belt, and she is ready to see the fruits of her labor when Bluffton kicks off the season in Plant City, Florida on Sunday, March 3rd.
With seven 2018 seniors having graduated to the next phase of their lives, including all-time greats Josie McElroy and Brittany Huff, Bluffton welcomes three newcomers to its core of 12 returners. Kelsey Reeder, a three-year starter at second base, gives the Beavers speed and experience at the top of the lineup. She stole four bases and was tied for team high honors with eight sacrifice bunts. A career 288 hitter, Reeder has scored 52 runs while drawing 17 walks in 101 games at Bluffton. Fellow senior Casey Clark saw her first action last season, starting 11 games behind the plate. Clark has also been a mainstay on Bluffton's volleyball team for the past 3 years as a defensive specialist.
An experienced junior class of four will drive the 2019 team. Courtney Jasinski made the most of her first year as a starter in 2018, hitting .310 with seven doubles, 28 RBIs, and 12 runs scored as a sophomore. The outfielder also slugged .372 with just four strikeouts. Versatile junior Caitlin Mordstadt will transition from catching to anchoring the infield at shortstop. She hit .308 with 10 doubles and a 4.51 slugging percentage a season ago, and the Beavers will count on her for even more run production in the middle of the lineup this year. Megan Hill gives the Beavers experience at first base after playing 17 games and hitting .278 as a sophomore. Lefty Alexis Montemurano appeared in 10 games with two starts in the circle for Bluffton in 2018, and she is ready to take advantage of her opportunity this season.
Sophomore Sydney Bowen started 14 games for Bluffton in the outfield last year, while Katie McCord tossed 15.2 innings in her 11 appearances on the mound. Brianna Baker, Riley Langstaff, Annie McCrate, and Taylor Stanky got their feet wet in 2018, and they will all play key roles for the Beavers when they hit the dirt in March.
Bluffton kicks off the 2019 campaign with 10 contests over 6 days at the Sunkist Games in Plant City, Florida. The Beavers will battle teams from around the country in addition to Ohio Northern, Heidelberg, and Muskingum from the Ohio Athletic Conference. Following 3 weeks of non-conference action, Bluffton enters HCAC play with a trip to Rose Holman on Saturday, March 30th. The Beavers will be at rival Defiance for a twin bill on Wednesday, April 10th, setting the stage for 12 straight conference games to close out the regular season. The Heartland Conference coaches have tabbed Transylvania as the 2019 favorite, with Mount St. Joseph and Franklin pegged second and third, respectively.
Yeah, last year I know there was a little struggle because they had a coach change, a GA change there.
For a while, they didn't even have a coach.
Yeah, it was like right before the season when Coach Des Moines got here. And there's been a lot going on with the softball team. They've had a lot of senior leadership last year that is not here anymore, as it said at the beginning, with Josie McElroy and Brittany Huff. They're two sluggers last year, both in the record books, both offensively and defensively. So those are big spots that these ladies really need to fill this year. But the future is bright for this Beaver softball team.
Yeah, I think with a year with Coach Des Moines being in here, she's obviously got in here late, and that's why you only see three freshmen really here on the roster. She really didn't have that much time to really recruit last year. So I could see her bringing in a bigger class next year for sure to add some more depth to this team. But I think these girls are going to go out and they're going to compete really well. We see these girls in the practicing all the time right before we go and play indoor soccer with the team. They practice right before we try and get some soccer in between softball and baseball practice, since they can't really practice outside right now due to the freezing cold weather. So these Beavers are going to go out and compete. Coach Des Moines is going to have these girls ready to play, and I think being out in Florida is always going to put these girls in an even better mood and allow them to be able to be even more excited for getting to play the first games of the year. So, Trent, you got anything else for us this year?
Yeah, just one more thing, and it has to do with track and field. But before I jump into that, the baseball and softball teams both have a heavy schedule. As we go on spring break, they go down to Florida, and baseball team slated to play, I believe I counted 11 total games, and as Pat just said, softball will play 10. So that's a lot of games in a week for the men, the baseball team, and then, I mean,
10 games for the
10
women
games
as
for
well.
The women on the softball side of things, but they don't start until Sunday, so theirs is a little crunched. But we wish them the best of luck as they travel down to Florida this year, and just playing down there. And March 1st, Friday, this Friday, outdoor track starts. They will be at the Polar Bear Last Chance Invitational both Friday and Saturday. So they kick off their season then. Pat, do you have anything else? Or
I don't think so. I know the Beavers are ready to be down in Florida. I'm a little jealous, as my spring break will consist of working and sitting on my couch. So I'm a little jealous that they're going to have a lot warmer weather than I will.
Yeah, my spring break, honestly, I don't know what I'm actually going to be doing, but I was a part of the theater program in high school. I did musicals. I did stage crew and cast. In my high school, their musical is in here in about a couple, I think 3 weeks, I believe. So my brother and my mom do set design for that. So I'll probably be up there helping them. I'm just spending time with my family mostly. But we do wish the baseball and softball team good luck as they travel to Florida and they play down there for a week, and as well as the outdoor track as they stay a little closer to home. But as they are outside running instead of indoor, as we have been talking about for the last couple of months. We wish all of our competitors good luck over spring break. And that wraps up this episode of the Beaver Dam. We thank you for listening and encourage you to come back and listen to us on Friday. I don't know if we will have one this Friday, but if not, it'll be the week after spring break. Check out previous podcasts. Search and subscribe on iTunes or Google Play, The Wit 961 Podcast at Bluffton University. Don't forget to follow us on Twitter at TheBeaverDam961. For more stories and information, check out our website, BlufftonWit.com, and subscribe. This has been Trent Mast, joined along with Patrick Spillman. We thank you for listening to 96.1 The Wit.
Roll beef.